Okay? All right. Thank you. Also, I'm going to need that too. Sharon. God bless you. This is Josiah's.
All right.
He must not be feeling well today. So I hate to hear that. Is he going to get to go skiing tomorrow?
Probably not.
We had five individuals who came to our new members class last week. And we need to share those with you so that you can welcome them. First one is Sharon, came to membership class. Tamara Gammon came to new members class. Jim Kidder came to membership class. Also, Alan and Lori Kern, and they're not here this morning, but we have a strange thing that takes place in the Baptist church. We have to vote whether or not to accept them as members. So everybody in favor of accepting them, stand up and say, Hallelujah! Praise the Lord. All right. Any opposed? You know, it's amazing to me that God continues to send us more, and I'm not going to say better, but just more and more and strong individuals. And it's just God is growing us deeper and wider. Deeper and wider. And so we're just giving the Lord praise for that. God is doing some marvelous works in our midst. We are in the process of raising money to purchase this property next door. And so hopefully by the end of the month, we'll have all the money necessary to take full ownership of that. And so I want to give the Lord praise. I'm going to let... Keith, you need to share a little bit, and so take just a couple of minutes, if you would. And I'll...
First of all, I want to talk about our Father.
Yeah. Praise the Lord.
I was able to break chains yesterday.
Well, amen.
For everything you guys wrong, there's certain things yesterday you want to bow down to show me for some kind of heritage, but it's all stuff. And through the doubts that I've experienced, none of us can do it.
Yeah.
Such a beautiful day yesterday. But I will say, anybody can see this, this is an eight ball. I'm no longer behind it. The chains are broken. Pass that on to somebody else or throw it away. I love you.
Yeah, I don't want to be behind the eight ball either. I'll let it be behind me. Thank you, Keith, for sharing. That just kind of flows right into what we're going to talk about today, because we have a new identity in Christ. We're not who we used to be. We're not who others have said we are.
Come on.
We are who God says we are. Last week, we discovered that we have a dual citizenship. I have a niece who was born in Angola, Africa. Her parents are from the United States, but she has a dual citizenship. She's a citizen of the United States as well as Angola, Africa. So that means that she could go to whichever country she wanted to and be a citizen of that country. When you were born here in the United States, or you became a resident of the United States, you became a citizen here. But when you were born again, through the power of Jesus Christ, you became a citizen of heaven. We're going to read in a few minutes in Hebrews chapter 12. That's kind of where we left off last week. I told you last week I had about four sermons on chapter 12. I'm going to try to get two of them in today. Squash it down. We were reading in Hebrews chapter 12 about our identity. We're going to look at that again, but I want you to understand, because of your decision to follow Christ, you are now a blood-bought child of God. You are precious in the sight of the Lord. You are, this kind of blows me away, you are His inheritance. It's like, God, do you really want me that much? But He said, yeah, exactly. He said, and He is thrilled with His inheritance. Isn't that's just crazy love, isn't it? That is just crazy love. He says that we are already holy. He says that we are the righteousness of Christ. He says that we are the apple of His eye. I was listening to a preacher the other day, and he said that that term actually means, if you go back into the Hebrew, what it means is that whenever a person comes close to you, and you tell them, get closer, get closer, get closer. He said, when you can see that, when you can see the reflection in their eye, that's what God is saying. You are all I see. Isn't that amazing? You are all I see. And He loves you with an everlasting love. And there's nothing that you can do that will make Him love you any less. And there's nothing you can do that will make Him love you any more. Because He loves you unconditionally. That's hard to... In our lives, there's not a lot of people that will love us unconditionally. God says, I don't care what you've done. I don't care who you think you are. You're my child, and you have a new life. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 12 again, and let's stand for the reading of God's Word. I'm going to read verses 18 through 24. It says, "You've not come to this physical mountain, to a place of flaming fire, darkness, gloom, and a whirlwind, as the Israelites did at Mount Sinai. For they heard an awesome trumpet blast and a voice so terrible that they begged God to stop speaking. They staggered back under God's command. Even if an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned to death. And Moses himself was so frightened at the sight that he said, 'I am terrified and trembling.'" Have you ever been that scared? "No, you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to countless thousands of angels in joyful gathering. You have come to the assembly of God's firstborn children, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God Himself, who is the judge over all things. You have come to the spirits of the righteous ones in heaven who have now been made perfect. You have come to Jesus, the one who mediates the new covenant between God and people, and to the sprinkled blood, which speaks of forgiveness instead of crying out for vengeance like the blood of Abel." You may be seated. I think one of the points that this author of Hebrews is making is that the Jews had always been under the old covenant, had always been under the sacrificial system, and they were following Moses. And then when they came to know Christ, it was like they had a new identity. They were no longer a disciple of Moses. They no longer had to follow the old covenant. They no longer had to make the sacrifices. And yet, here they were, still doing those things when there was a new covenant made. They were no longer followers of Moses. They were followers of Jesus Christ. How hard would it be, do you think, to one day going to the temple, sacrificing, next day going to the temple, sacrificing, doing all of the traditions of the Pharisees, doing all of the traditions of the Jews, and then the next day be free from that? How hard would that be to walk out of? I mean, your whole culture, your whole family, everybody you associated with was stuck in that system. And I think the author here is saying, listen, you're no longer under that system. You're no longer under the covenant of Moses. You're under a new covenant. It's not the one that's so scary and frightful and smoky and dark and trembling. It's not that one. It's this one, where you have the opportunity to come to Jesus. Where you have an opportunity to come to God. Where you have an opportunity to fellowship with Him. It's not the old covenant where God was somewhere off there and He was unapproachable. It's a new covenant where God is approachable. How hard would it be to walk out from under the one covenant, the one lifestyle, and walk into this other lifestyle? That would be tough. And I think the author of Hebrews is trying to get their attention and say, listen, you have a new identity. You're not who you used to be. You're someone new. You're a new creation. Look, if you would, at 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person, and the old life is gone, a new life has begun. We as Christians also have a hard time with our new identity. We have a hard time embracing the things that God says about us. We have a hard time accepting the fact that God loves us unconditionally. We still think sometimes that we have to earn His grace. Well, I want to tell you this. If you earn His grace, it ain't grace. God has made you a new creation in Christ. You are a new creation. You are not who you used to be. Turn to your neighbor and tell them you're not who you used to be. I read a, if you know Christ, that is true for you. Okay? If you don't know Christ, you are who you used to be. And you're not going to get any better. There was a young boy, I read a story of a young boy who was having trouble with his identity. And it goes like this. A seminary professor was vacationing with his wife in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. And one morning they were eating breakfast at a little restaurant, hoping to enjoy a quiet family meal. While they were waiting for their food, they noticed a distinguished-looking, white-haired man moving from table to table, visiting with his guests. The professor leaned over and whispered to his wife, "I hope he doesn't come over here." But sure enough, the man did come over to their table. "Where are you folks from?" he asked in a friendly voice. "Oklahoma," they answered. "Well, great to have you in Tennessee," the stranger said. "What do you do for a living?" "I teach at a seminary," he replied. "Oh, so you teach preachers how to preach, do you? Well, I've got a really great story for you." And with that, the gentleman pulled up a chair and sat down at the table with a couple. The professor groaned and thought to himself, "Great, just what I need is another preacher story." The man started, "See that mountain over there," pointing out the restaurant window. "Not far from the base of the mountain, there was a boy born to an unwed mother. He had a hard time growing up because every place he went, he was always asked the same question. Hey, boy, who's your daddy?" Whether he was at school, in the grocery store, or drugstore, people would ask the same question. "Who's your daddy?" He would hide at recess and lunchtime from other students. He would avoid going into the stores because that question hurt him so bad. When he was about 12 years old, a new preacher came to his church. He would always go in late and slip out early to avoid hearing the question, "Who's your daddy?" But one day, the new preacher said the benediction so fast he got caught up and had to walk out with the crowd. Just about the time he got to the back door, the new preacher, not knowing anything about him, put his hand on his shoulder and asked him, "Son, who's your daddy?" The whole church got deathly quiet. He could feel every eye in the church looking at him. Now, everyone who would finally know the answer to the question, "Who's your daddy?" This new preacher, though, sensed the situation around him and using discernment that only the Holy Spirit could give, said the following to that scared little boy. "Wait a minute," he said. "I know who you are. I see the family resemblance now. You are a child of God." And with that, he patted the boy on the shoulder and said, "Boy, you've got a great inheritance. Go and claim it." And with that, the boy smiled for the first time in a long time walked out the door a changed person. He was never the same again. And when anybody asked him, "Who's your daddy?" he'd just tell him, "I'm a child of God." This distinguished gentleman got up from the table and said, "Isn't that a great story?" The professor responded that it was really a great story. As the man turned to leave, he said, "You know, if that new preacher hadn't told me that I was one of God's children, I probably never would have amounted to anything." And he walked away. The seminary professor and his wife were stunned. He called the waitress over and asked her, "Do you know who that man was who left, that was sitting at our table?" The waitress grinned and said, "Of course, everybody here knows him. That's Ben Hooper. He's the former governor of Tennessee." Let me ask you a question, and I asked somebody this week, "Do you know who your daddy is? Do you know who your daddy is?" You know, sometimes we fret and stew and steam and stress and worry. Did you forget who your daddy was? Because you're not the same person you used to be. You are not the same person you used to be. You're in a different family now. One of the reasons that you are not who you used to be is because God has given you a new heart. There's a transformation that's taken place in your life. Only Christ can give you that new heart. We read about in Mark chapter 5 an encounter that Jesus had with we call him the Gadarene demoniac. One day, Jesus and his disciples were paddling across the Sea of Galilee. They came upon the shore. When they came upon the shore, a man started running toward them, having very little, if any, clothes on. His hair was disheveled. He was shrieking in a noise that was inhumane, making all these weird sounds that was inhuman. And he was approaching them. He had blood all over him because he cut himself with stones. He lived in the tombs. He was shrieking. What do you think the disciples were doing? "I'm hiding behind Jesus, man." Years ago in New Orleans, when I was going to seminary, I was also doing contract work, and I was going to make a bid on a house, and I knocked on the door. One of these old antebellum homes, and had lace curtains on the thing, and so I knocked on the door, and all of a sudden, so Crystal and Micah were with me, and all of a sudden, there's this figure who comes floating down, and I don't know what you call them, but whatever she was wearing was very lightweight. Yeah, it was kind of floating with her. And my two children hid behind me. And I wanted to run, so I didn't know what was going on. So finally, she landed and opened the door, and I realized then she was on one of those chairs that roll up down the stair. And it freaked me out, man. That was one of them fear and trembling times. I wanted to run. And probably not so much as the disciples wanted to run that day. That would have been a freaky experience. Especially with him coming toward them and rushing them and yelling or screaming or screeching, Scripture says. And you're not understanding what he said. I'm thinking, yeah, get back in the boat. Scripture says he had about 6,000 demons. And Jesus spoke to him. Cast the demons out. And he was a brand new man. Read all of the story. Jesus said, so he says to Jesus, can I go with you? Can I go with you? So before that, the town, now, let me back up a minute. People in the town had come out and tried to bind him with chains. And every time they did, he would break them. He said to Jesus, can I go with you? And Jesus told him, I want you to go back home. And I want you to tell everybody what I've done for you. Go back home and tell everyone what I've done for you. Now, he went back to Decapolis, and if you read that word, Decapolis means 10 cities. And so he went back to his hometowns, and he began sharing what Christ had done for him. Do you know when Christ sets you free, it's hard to keep silent? It's hard to not tell somebody that the Lord has set you free. Scripture says that he was clothed and in his right mind. Now, I'm assuming that the reason it says he was clothed and in his right mind is because he wasn't clothed before. He was clothed and in his right mind. The Lord had set him free. God had done a transformation in his heart. He was not the same person he was before he had that encounter with Jesus Christ. Now, here's what we discover about not only him, but others that Jesus encounters, is that nobody who encounters Jesus goes away the same. Nobody who has a true encounter with Jesus Christ ever goes away the same. They are a new person. And if you've had an encounter with Jesus Christ, there's a change, there's a transformation that has taken place in your heart. You're not the same person you used to be. Here's a true statistic. I can find it. It says, mockingbirds are master impersonators. In addition to singing, they can copy the sounds of other birds and of other animals, such as frogs and cats, and coming from Mississippi, squirrels too. I would try to hunt squirrels and follow a mockingbird all over the place. So apparently, they can even mimic a squeaking door. You know, when you meet Jesus, you don't have to pretend anymore. You don't have to pretend to be something you're not. I remember before I met Christ, I pretended to be a Christian when I went to church. After I met Christ, I didn't have to pretend anymore. because there was something that took place in my heart. There was a transformation that took place. Can't explain it. It's a God thing. God wants to do the same for you as He did for this Gadarene demoniac, as He did for the lady who He cast out seven demons from, as He did for the disciples who encountered Him. He wants to do the same thing for you that He did for me. And He wants you to know, if you're a child of God, that your past really doesn't matter to Him anymore. He could care less. The only reason He might allow that to come up is so that you can be a minister to someone else who is going through similar things and help them. God loves you unconditionally. You have a new identity. And one of the reasons you have a new identity is because He's given you a new heart. He's given you a new heart. One more, and then we will close. So another thing that the Lord has given you, He has given you a brand new name. Did you know that? Did you know you have a new name? I don't know what it is. But in Revelation, chapter 2, verse 17, He says, "He who has an ear," do you have an ear? Do you have a spiritual ear? "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give him some of the hidden manna to eat, and I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it." That's pretty cool. My wife has a pet name for me. She calls me Hubby. Unless she's here at church, she calls me Pastor. Pastor Hubby. I really think on this white stone is Jesus' pet name for you. He says no one knows it except Him and you. Do you know how special you are to God? Do you know how valuable you are to Him? What's the greatest treasure you've ever found? God saying, "My son Jacob, my wife." The greatest treasure that the Lord has ever found is you. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that incredible? It's amazing. Sometimes it's hard for us to walk out of what we know from our past into what we know that Christ has said about us. And so, I want to talk next week about how to take those old garments off Okay? Don't have time to go into it today. But you have a new heart. You have a new identity. But sometimes we don't have the understanding of how to get the grave clothes off. You remember Lazarus in the tomb. He'd been dead for 4 days. Jesus says to Mary, let's go see Lazarus. And she said, by this time, he stinks. When Jesus came up there, he called, he said, Lazarus, come forth. And here comes Lazarus in grave clothes. I don't know if he floated out. I don't know if he was hopping. I don't know how he got out, but he got out. But Jesus told his disciples, loose him and let him go. Sometimes you need the church body to help loosen you and let you go. Next week we're going to talk about walking out of the grave clothes. Okay? Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for this new identity that some of us are just realizing. But Lord, it's hard to embrace because we know who we are. But Lord, I pray that today, Lord, there may be someone here who's never experienced that transformation in their heart. And Lord, they want a new identity. They don't want to be the same old person. And Lord, only you can do that. So Lord, we pray for those who don't know you as their personal Lord and Savior, that they today repent of their sins and accept you and embrace you, invite you in to be their Lord and Master. And Lord, for others who are struggling with their new identity, Lord, I pray that you would help them to understand their value to you. Lord, that you'd have your will and way in each of our hearts and lives at this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together as we sing.
Spirit of the living God.